It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Biden administration will ban mining for 20 years on hundreds of thousands of acres of watershed in the Superior National Forest near Minnesota's Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Call in with your thoughts and questions about the mining ban. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Chris Knopp is executive director of the Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness, which has fought against copper sulfide mining near this vast preserve. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Kate, hey, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here with you and everyone on Wisconsin Public Radio.
So the Interior Department's ban applying to about 225,000 acres of the Superior National Forest. How significant is this ban?
Kate, this is a huge step forward. It's a vote for clean water and all the jobs that depend on clean water in the outdoor industry in Northeast Minnesota. So it's a huge step forward. There's still much to do, but this is a great step forward for everyone who loves the Boundary Waters Canoe Area and the clean water of Northeast Minnesota.
What are the environmental concerns you have about mining in this area?
Sure. It's sort of broader context for this is that this type of mining, Kate, has never been done in Minnesota. So this is not the traditional iron taconite mining in Minnesota. So this is copper mining. And with the rock formation here in Northeast Minnesota, with that copper in the ore, you also have sulfide. And so when the rock is broken up and it brought to the surface and exposed to air and water, you create sulfuric acid. And so in a region where you're bounded by the largest Great Lake and the largest freshwater lake in the world on one side and the Boundary Waters Canoe Area with over 1,000 lakes, you're going to have a problem with that. And the amount of waste, Kate, in this process is just enormous. So the ore is not 50% of the rock or 25% of the rock or 10% of the rock or even 1%. It's less than 0.5%. So you're going to have 99.5% waste exposed to air and water, creating sulfuric acid. So that's the environmental risk that we're concerned about.
And what you're saying here, you know, iron ore mining has a long history and tradition in Minnesota, but this would be a very much new territory, mining for copper and nickel and precious metals, which hasn't been done before in Minnesota.
It's exactly right. This is not the mining that has been done for a century in Minnesota. So this is much different and poses a much different risk to the environment.
If there are no active mineral leases currently on this land affected by the moratorium, do you see this as a preemptive move, a preemptive measure?
It is. That's correct. It's a preemptive measure. It's also, there was a particular mine called Twin Metals that is within this area. And so the history of this is that Twin Metals had a predecessor had a mineral lease going back to the 1960s, and that mineral lease expired in 2016, and so that lease expired, and then there was a political and legal fight back and forth, and we were in federal court for the last few years with Twin Metals, and that lease was canceled over a year ago, and so this moratorium for the next 20 years, it really really ends the Twin Metals effort and is an opening for us to look forward to a future in Minnesota where we look at other ways to diversify and make these communities strong in Northeast Minnesota.
We're talking about mining near the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in northern Minnesota with Chris Knopp, who is Executive Director of Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. You can join in along the way at 800-642-1234. Chris, you know, the order that blocks this Minnesota company's proposal to mine for copper, nickel, and other minerals near Ely, company officials have said the metals are needed for making solar and wind technology and electronic vehicles. Does the mining ban risk delaying the nation's or Minnesota's clean energy goals?
You know, not at all. It's a misleading argument. Really, the proposed Twin Metals mine that is encompassed in this geographic area, it would only produce, if it were operating, 0.18% of the copper in the global market. So copper is a global market, and twin metals would just be a drop in the bucket. So it's truly misleading to say that this is needed for the clean energy economy. And so this is it, it's not it, this is not the mine that's necessary for the clean energy economy. And so really the question we have to ask is, where you do this, and you're doing this is in an area where you have all this water, so you're going to have pollution. And these mining companies and the proponents for this copper sulfide mining really need to be honest with the public that if we do have these mines, we're going to poison this the environment here of Northeast Minnesota. So it's the argument is we need to destroy the environment in order to save the environment, and that's not one I buy. So this is not needed for the green energy economy.
We heard from Jennifer in Waukesha, called in to say that they are overjoyed to hear about the imposition of a mining ban to protect the boundary waters. And they said it's been a long battle. Jennifer has canoed there many times, also worked for an area outfitter while they were a college student. Chris, can you speak to the area's recreation economy and what that brings?
Sure. Kate, the three counties in Northeast Minnesota, the outdoor industry is over a $500 million industry. Each year, $540 million are generated by the outdoor recreation economy there. And so you have hundreds of jobs in the outfitters that both in the winter, there are winter campers, and as well as canoeists in during the summer that are dependent upon the clean water. And if that water is poison, those jobs go away. So these mines threaten existing jobs.
Can we just pause here and maybe just make space for you to find words for just the beauty and remoteness of this vast wilderness for people who haven't visited the Boundary Waters?
Kate, this is a special place. If you can imagine a place where you can see every star in the sky, where you can hear every thought in your head, because there's just the sound of the waves lapping against the shore, a loon calling at night, and surrounded by granite shoreline, soaring pine trees, and clean water everywhere. That's what the Boundary Waters is about, and it's about connecting with yourself and connecting with your friends and family that go on those special trips with you. That's the Boundary Waters.
Chris Knopp leads the environmental advocacy group Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. Call in with your questions about the federal government's mining ban near the Boundary Waters. Share your views on it. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discussed the Biden administration's 20-year moratorium on mining, protecting nearly 250,000 acres of wilderness in northern Minnesota near the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Call in with your thoughts, your questions about mining activity, the environmental impacts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Chris Knopp heads up the conservation group Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness and stays with us. Chris, you characterize this as one step in, it sounds like, a multi-step process here for protection efforts. Closing mining to federal lands within the Superior National Forest. Could a mine be built on privately owned land and affect the ecosystem of the Boundary Waters? Or are there other leases you're concerned with in the proximity to this wilderness area?
Sure. Thanks for that question, Kate. There's sort of the next step beyond this. At the federal level, we support legislation by Congresswoman Betty McCullum from Minnesota here to make that 20-year moratorium permanent. And so that's at the federal level. That's legislative protection that we're supporting. At the state level, we support a bill called Prove It First. And this is an idea that we actually took from Wisconsin. Wisconsin had this law in place from 1998 until 2017. And Prove It First is just a very simple, straightforward law. And it would require any of these sulfide mining companies to first prove that this has been done safely elsewhere in the U.S. for at least 10 years, and that the mine has been closed for 10 years without causing pollution before it's been done in Minnesota. So it's a straightforward question that puts front and center whether this type of mining can be done safely. So at the state level, we're looking for protection of through prove it first, and we're at the state level is where we think we can really make some progress to get the legislative protection in place here.
Do you think prove it first goes far enough? I mean, you saw as in 2017, Wisconsin's legislature repealed the moratorium that had required companies to prove other mines operated and were closed for 10 years without environmental harm. So how do you make sure something like that is permanent and sustains for longevity?
Sure. In one sense, it's tough to make anything permanent. All laws can be overturned. All administrative actions can be overturned. And so it's really a multi-layered approach. And so we have in our advocacy work, three levels of our work. We have a litigation, legislation that we've been talking about, and then citizen action. And ultimately, once we get prove it first passed, for sure it could be overturned, as Scott Walker did with the prove it first law in Wisconsin. But the third part of with citizen action and really supporting the communities of Northeast Minnesota and having broad-based public support is where we really enshrine that support. So we have an office in Ely, the community that's the center of the gateways to the Boundary Waters. And we're working with community members to look at ways in which we can have broad-based efforts to strengthen Ely and the other communities in Northeast Minnesota. And I think having that public support is the ultimate protection that we need. So public support, success in the course that we've had, and legislative support. It's a multi-layer way of ensuring protection.
We have a question here from Chuck in Juneau called to say that they spent a month last summer camping in the Boundary Waters and in Voyageurs National Park, and is wondering if this mining ban protects Voyageurs National Park if that there are other protections in mining regulations for Voyageurs.
Sure. Thanks for that question. So this the proposed Twin Metals mine was upstream from Voyageurs National Park. So the path of pollution from Twin Metals would have gone through the Boundary Waters and then into Voyageurs National Park and then into Canada. So this moratorium for 20 years provides that protection for Voyageurs National Park, and having a permanent ban on it through federal legislation would provide that permanent protection.
Let's go to Perry now in Oconto. Perry, hi, what's on your mind?
Yes, I just want to commend the Friends of the Boundary Waters for the great work in getting people just to come together to work to get the legislation done and to hold our politicians accountable. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things is just that people power. And just if you hold something near and dear to speak up and find a group and that, because over here in Oconto we have PFAS here that just a report a week or two ago was all in Great Lakes fish, which is a big industry over here. And I've talked for several years to politicians, and it's like, oh, I'm in Door County, I don't have to worry about PFAS in Marinette County. Well, there's millions and billions of dollars now in the fishing industry that says that the fish are worse than drinking a month worth of contaminated water with one fish. So,
Perry, thank you for the call, and certainly Perry bringing up the environmental concerns of PFAS contamination, forever chemicals in water and contaminating drinking water. Chris, what are your insights there on how a Friends group can affect change?
Sure. Perry's comments bring up this statement from former Vice President Walter Mondale that every environmental victory is temporary, and every environmental defeat is permanent. And these mines would poison the water for centuries. And so that people power that Perry was talking about, that's what I was getting at, as that third pillar of the advocacy there, and having the support of individuals who love the boundary waters, who love clean water, contact their elected officials, really makes that difference.
Talking about the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in northern Minnesota with Chris Knopp, Executive Director of Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Chris, what do you see in terms of climate change? How is the climate crisis affecting the Boundary Waters?
Kate, the climate crisis is at the Boundary Waters right now. So we are very focused on all the threats to the Boundary Waters, not just sulfide mining, but climate change as well. And so right now there are at least three major impacts of climate change on the Boundary Waters. First, you have the change in the boreal forest. So the pine trees and the birch trees that dot that landscape, those are starting to change into oak and maple forest. So we have a changing forest, and this change, Kate, is not just one that can happen slowly. That if we have two ill-timed warm spells in the late winter, early spring, in two consecutive years, that entire boreal forest can be killed off from the Boundary Waters to the Hudson Bay. So this is an immediate problem for the forest. And second, we have warming waters. The Boundary Waters has these great trout lakes that need cold water, and the warming climate threatens those trout lakes. And then finally, the changing climate brings in invasive species that alter the landscape and crowd out native species. So those are happening right now in the Boundary Waters. So we're very focused on that. For example, the warming climate pushes moose out, and we have had over the last three decades, rapid decline in moose population. So we're very concerned about all these impacts of climate change on the Boundary Waters, and are working to advocate for protection of our climate.
What is your friends group working on next with this moratorium in place?
We have three pillars of our work. We've been talking about wilderness advocacy. We also are about people and communities. And so on the people end, Kate, we have a well-developed education program that hit its stride this year. We're reaching thousands of students in schools to talk about the Boundary Waters. And we have scholarships through our Thomas Flint Canoe Program, where we bring over 100 students on scholarships into the wilderness. And then finally, we're in the communities where we have our office in Ely, and we're reaching out to community members, and we'll be leading nature hikes. And we've bought some land at the edge of the Boundary Waters that was under threat of development. And so we'll be leading canoe paddles out this summer to that conservation land that we've bought. So we have a multi-pronged approach of wilderness advocacy, bringing people out into the wilderness, and then finally supporting the communities that are gateways to the Boundary Waters.
I want to hear a little bit more in our last minute or so about buying up land that for conservation purposes that is under threat, and the strategy behind that. Where do you see that headed in the future?
Well, there's the challenge out there that's unknown to the public, that the Spirit National Forest does not have money to buy and the other personnel resources right now to buy land at the edge of the wilderness that's coming up for sale. And that other conservation groups, larger national conservation groups, have other focus areas and other strategies. And so we're grassroots geography based organization. And so we are privately fundraising right now to buy land. So we bought 80 acres, for those of you that know the Boundary Waters, on Snowbank Lake, just about 25 minutes east of Ely. And we're now in the process of trying to protect 360 acres along the South Kuishui River, right where Twin Metals was proposed for. So we're trying to buy land that's coming up for sale there. And so we're privately fundraising for that. And we will make it open for the public to use for recreation. Mm. And we're doing it to preserve the forest and the shoreline, so that the land that we're trying to protect along the South Kuishu River has over 2 miles of undeveloped shoreline and leads right into the boundary waters.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be on, and thank you to everyone in Wisconsin and Rutabaga Paddle Sports.
We're out of time here. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.